I don't care what that clock says.
We'll call the meeting to order, and roll call, we have everyone in attendance. Youth and Governance, we have one not. Approval of the minutes of the previous meeting. They weren't in the packet, but they were available online this afternoon, and then we do have them before us. It was a relatively short meeting. If the committee would prefer, we could defer this to the next meeting unless someone would like to make a motion to approve.
Move to approve.
Moved by Supervisor Dodge to approve. Is there a second? Supervisor Noodle, seconded Supervisor.
I wasn't here, but I believe I was excused. It says absent here. Kind of the same thing, but I did call. And
you were at the Brewer game. You were excused, yeah. It was opening night, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah. Opening day. No, I remember you calling me, being jealous.
Hardly understand.
So, we have a motion to approve and a second the minutes. Any discussion on them? All those in favor of approval? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? So, we've approved the minutes. Committee members, chairman, supervisors, youth and government comments. I really have nothing major this month. We do have a couple pretty substantial items on the agenda as far as some land purchases, a look at the administration building, and we have completed some major projects as far as facilities and parks and highways, so we're looking at probably the second round here, this evening, as far as decisions that we'll have to make for next year's budget. The parks that I saw this weekend, and everyone has had a rough spring, and Pets has had a rough spring being underwater, it is a real credit to the committee and to the staff, to Mr. Rudy, on what we did at Pets last year to alleviate the huge problems that we would have had this year if that dam wasn't gone, if the grants hadn't been applied for, and if all that work hadn't been done. I think we were only out of business there for about a week or less, and we'd have had weeks of cleanup. Fox River Park was underwater. Everyone knows the Fox River was near record highs, and it just got off of our low area there by the ballparks by Silver Lake, but the parks guys have been working, getting everything in shape. Everything's about a month behind, lawns and trees, and if you've noticed, how your own flowers in your own yards are, everything's way behind, so that everyone's keeping up, and I'm sure we're going to hear this evening that golf is in the same situation where we're probably a month behind, so it should become, or should come as no surprise to anyone, the way the weather was this spring, that everyone's affected by it. And our parks, highway department's been, the work that they've had to do with the potholes and with shoulder work because of all the rain. I mean, that's basically what you've seen them doing here now for the last couple weeks. As far as the parks are concerned, the ones I saw this weekend, they were jammed with people. I think everyone is just pent up with the winter. And the Katy Park I went by yesterday, and I was going to stop with my dog, and I didn't because there was just way too many people in there. So I think the spring has been long overdue for people. So those are my comments. Any supervisors have anything this evening?
Just a quick one. I want to thank Gary, you and your crew, for following up on those solar-powered flashing stop signs on highways E and H. Got some feedback from constituents, and they're very pleased to see that we had followed through on that, and hopefully it just makes more people aware of what's going on in that area. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any other supervisors? Youth and Governance, anything?
Guys, this is my last meeting, so thank you guys for being so accepting of me.
Well, thank you. Thank you for putting in your time and for the interest. That you showed. Greatly appreciated. We're going to have the party next week. Any citizens' comments? Citizens' comments, anyone wishing to speak to address the committee would have 5 minutes to speak. And the only thing we ask is that you give your name and address, and you can speak on any item on your mind. Any citizens' comments? Yes, sir.
Yes, David Buellin, 24607 67th Street in Panic Lake. I'm also an employee of the Highway Department. I'm more here in regards to that aspect than, I guess, as a citizen, too, but that's my wife's better judgment. I came here tonight. But saying that, about 3 weeks ago, I had an incident with the cruiser. I did operate a 4004 cruiser down there. I had an incident with management where they wanted me to start teaching these new guys how to operate that piece of equipment, and I was questioning the legality of myself doing this because I know nothing about these people. And knowing that Gary's going to have a certification program coming down the line. Their response downstairs, I had to write a letter up about what happened. I believe it's on staff's desk. But I was removed off the equipment. Now, where I'm also going with this is in your policies. Your own policies state that me as an employee should be able to come to management at any time with any questions, comments, concerns. I should be able to get an honest answer back on any of this, not be taken off the machine that I've been operating for the last 10 years, which I've well proven myself on, through a tornado, through a Kemper Center, et cetera, et cetera. And all I'm being told right now is we're being told for you not to operate that equipment until this letter gets answered from staff upstairs. Well, I hope staff has an answer pretty soon, because I'm wondering if I have a job tomorrow. I don't know where this is going, how far it's going, and I'm not looking for answers tonight. I'm hoping I can push the ball here a little bit on that issue, and hopefully nothing comes of it. This new wage scheduling people voted on and approved is causing such an uncomfortable and hostile environment down there. There's such a dividing line right now between these new employees and us and the veterans right now, because these guys are looking at $6 an hour raise every time they're getting on this equipment. It's like a lollipop offer to them, and they're doing all the booty kissing they can do to make it happen. And it's also part of the problem. I'm just telling you how they feel down there. They don't want to speak up because they're afraid of losing their jobs down there. We'd like to know, where in the private sector do you go, what company out there do you go and get a $6 an hour raise to run a piece of equipment? I don't know what construction company's doing that. I've worked in many companies in the private sector, and I've never seen that, especially with new employees who've only been there a year or so. I just want to comment on that. Again, I'm looking for an honest answer from what happened. We're also reminded downstairs, be thankful you got a job. I'm very thankful I have a job at Kenosha County, but I also expect Kenosha County to have a comfortable work environment down there too, of some sort, or an avenue to express ourselves. I'm being very quick, I'm out of time. But I would appreciate if we go to management, we don't get punished for it. And that's why a lot of us aren't saying nothing down there. Like I said, I did this tonight. I hope tomorrow there's no ramification of me coming up here tonight. I hope I'm not sweeping the interstate with a toothbrush tomorrow. But the certification program, you folks, that come down the road, I think that's an excellent idea on Gary's part. I'm fully supportive of that. But I feel, and this, I'm just commenting on this, is just my thoughts, that should be done by an independent person, not somebody who works for this county, relate to anybody in this county in any way, shape, or form. To eliminate that favoritism that can happen when you institute a program like this. These new employees should go through classroom first, before they go sent out the road out there with this heavy equipment. That cruiser is nothing, is not a play toy. It will hurt people and hurt people fast. Or a machine like that, where it's a grader, loader. I witnessed during the winter, the loader, the case loader down there, one of the new guys was running it. It was parked over by warm storage, the bucket sitting 4 feet off the ground. I drove over to see if the parking brake was on. I opened up the door, the parking brake wasn't even on. This machine could have rolled. He was nowhere to be found. He must have been, I don't know if he's going to bed. But I set the parking brake. I told staff about it. It was ha ha ha. Well, that's pretty serious, but this all goes into certification when you want to certify somebody. I've been through an apprenticeship program. I know, I've seen the videos, I've seen the pictures of what happens when somebody's not qualified or experienced on this heavy equipment. It's not a laughing matter. And after a class, we should put these people into a controlled situation, like out the pit. Just test their ability before you send them out in the public out there. Otherwise, if they hurt somebody out there in the public, you people are going to have to answer for it. And me as an operator, I don't want any legal recourse. And you know what happened with Stan that time, what he all went through that time with that same machine. This is the world we live in. And that's, I just had a concern. That's all I had. And I got punished for it. And I just want to make the supervisors aware of it. If it goes nowhere tonight, so be it. But I had to say something. And I want to thank the board members. I want to thank the committee for listening to me tonight.
Thank you. Any other citizens' comments? If not, citizens' comments are closed. We'll move on to parks, old business. The Mr. Rudy.
I guess I would say that Chief Game Warden and our area came and had a visit with me a week ago and basically told me that I was in violation of having a fish farm license at KD. And along with that, they told me they were taking control of the lake. So it's just right now, as it stands, the lake at KD is just like any other lake, you know, in the area where it's open to all public fishing, same seasons, same size restrictions, same limits, everything. They also, you know, I when they did that, I talked with them about diving and piers and boat launches, and I found out that they will not fund a boat launch, but they would fund possibly an ADA accessible pier and the adjacent parking. When I talked with them about diving platforms and things like that, they told me that they will not allow us to sink anything in the lake. But the problem with this is when I speak with the wardens, I get one thing, but then when I talk with some of the lake specialists and other people, I get a different answer. So it's kind of hard to sort out exactly, you know, if it's certain circumstances or whatever, but the wardens at this point are telling me that pretty much no to the you can dive, but no platforms, and again, we don't have any control over the lake other than what they say. So until I sort through some of this a little bit deeper with some of the lake specialists and things, I really don't have a firm answer right now on what we can do there. The other thing is JGR did give me a proposal to add the KD expansion onto the master plan for KD Park, so I was going to go ahead and have them do that. I spoke with the county exec about it, and he said that if I felt it was a good proposal to go ahead with it. And that's about all I have right now on KD.
Okay. The new business.
Fernal Nature Center, they are becoming more and more involved with us, with the Parks Department, as far as things that they help us with, the programs that they put on. And the latest thing was Barry Thomas came out and spoke with the students from Prairie School at Pets about invasive species as kind of part of their Earth Day and Emily's Day, they call it, to do a volunteer project. This year we had them pile up brush up in the North Woods for rabbit habitat, we call it Rabbitat. One of the things we did out there, because the building has no windows that open, we did install one sliding, we took out one of the plate glass windows and put in one that they can open to get fresh air in there so they don't have to run the air conditioning quite as much. We hope to put another one in so they can get a cross breeze in there possibly next year. All their minutes and financials are attached to this, if you got a chance to read them. April 5th, I think the chairman covered that. Pets is pretty well back in shape. The contractor will have to do a little work with the erosion control and the plants right along in the area of the new bridge. But all of the top dressing and a little bit of seating there, we're going to have to do, you know, all the way through the park where it was eroded from the flooding. The Parks Department will have to dress up. They won't come back and do that. Fox River came out of it pretty good, but we had 3 foot of sand in the boat launch. We had to scoop out and haul away so we could use that again. But that's all done now, and everything's going there. The Kemper Pier, we've made a decision this year because of liability to not put the railings back up. We've been patching them together with homemade pieces of angle iron and things, and they're to the point where all the set screws are wore out, the connectors are wore out, and we can't get it tight anymore. No matter what you do, it's loose. You can walk up to it and move it very easily, and I don't believe if anybody really leaned on it, that would hold them. So it made the decision to not put it back up, so the pier will be closed. I did check into new railings probably 6-7 years ago, and at the time they were around 80,000. And when I revisited it this time, new railings would run about 110,000 for that pier. That pier needs more work than just railings as well. It needs some structural work on the I-beams underneath and repainting. And so, I mean, it's something we're going to have to seriously think about. But if your constituents call you, which I'm sure they will, because there are a lot of folks who like to go down there and sit and watch the fireworks and go out there and eat their lunch. With the condition the railings are in, I think the risk outweighs not putting them back up. The Kemper roof replacements, they've been working on the chapel roof for a month, but most of the work was done, I believe, probably last week and today. They got a little bit started, and then it rained, and rained and snowed, and the weather was horrible, so they finally really shifted into gear and are moving right along. I expect that to be done probably, I'm hoping, by mid-next week. I'm not sure where they are with the masonry guy, but I think they're coming close. At Pence, in lot number one, the Pike River has eroded its way to, I want to say, about 12 foot from the west side of parking area number one. And it's been like that now for a few years, and we've had in the CIP a stream bank repair just to repair that one area. R.A. Smith has applied for the permits and done the engineering on that, and that should be happening pretty quick as well. They haven't put it out to bid, which they will do, but that's in the works. The Adopt a Trail program, the article hit the paper, I think it was either Thursday or Friday morning, and I had five different organizations call me to adopt trails. Right now, from this point, what I have adopted out is from Birch Road by Cass Capri all the way to the state line, or county line, I'm sorry, north to the Racine County line, and from Highway E and 22nd all the way out to Pence. So, you know, that's moving right along. People were really excited about it. The dog parks, the boys poured the base for the doggy drinking fountain at the Carlisle Family Dog Park today, and that should be up and running by the end of the week. We'll let the cement set up and then replace the asphalt we had to cut for a drain. And then the other thing is, if the chairman saw it, but someone put a cement statue of a boxer with a sign at Warren Close Dog Park. And when I drove by, I thought it was a real dog, as well as a lot of other folks. So we left it there. So if you get a chance to see it, you know, it's kind of funny. But anyways, that's all I have.
I started a pool as to how long it stays there. But it's a heavy cement.
It's. Well, we were going to...
It looks fine. It looks nice.
It really does. We were going to take bets on how long it'll be before more things show up.
Mm-hmm. Right.
By us.
Thank you, John. Any questions for John on anything?
And can we help you at all with the Katy Lake situation, or is it just something that's got to work through?
The county exec is working on
okay.
it. He's been talking to Samantha and Scott Gunnerson to try and help straighten
Thanks.
It out.
I talked to Kathy Stepp, too, the director of the day, and a lot of times the wardens don't really know, and they do, speaking as someone who's had his fingernails checked for blood, they're sometimes bullies, and they've been a little bullyish with Matt on that lake, and they were irritated at the county when we did the fisheries license, and they made every effort, stopping even at sporting goods shops, to make sure that people knew that we could not keep them from keeping fish and things. So the local wardens were very irritated, and the head of the DNR didn't know anything about it. So John's right, is that there's a couple different stories here, and I think when we work with the leadership, we'll probably be able to work things out a little bit. So we're not real worried about it at this point, but right now they're just telling people what they can and can't do. Thank you, John. We'll move on to... Oh.
There's one thing I want to mention to John. There's Petrified Springs, the road that's closed that goes north up through the golf course. Just past the part where the golf course is, there's a walking trail sign that shows a different pass. Somebody smashed that in half. It's been that way for I don't know how long. The sign is all broken up right there. It shows the walking trails there. Yeah, just thought I'd let you know it's all broken up.
Anything else for John? We'll move on to golf.
Good evening.
Good to have you back, by the way.
Thank you.
John, welcome back.
We opened the golf course April 5th, which is about a month later than we did last year. We opened it March 10th last year. The range was not able to open or really carts being let out until April 26th, since the golf course dried out a little bit. We had a couple nice tournaments in April. We had the Pro Tournament, which we had 68 PGA Pros from around the state come and play. We played the Blue Spruce, and everybody really enjoyed it. We had a nice meal afterwards and had a lot of thank yous and even congratulations on the conditions of the golf course, so hopefully that word of mouth will really travel with those guys and send some people our way. But we are still looking to fill some more leagues at Brightondale. Petrifying Springs is busy from Monday through Thursday. There is no openings from 3:30 to 5:30 for leagues. Actually, I think we're up to like 409 weekday league players, and our 18-hole league that is on Friday afternoons did expand from 16, I think, to 20. And we also have a ladies' league that's forming Friday nights there, so that's encouraging. But Pets is pretty much stocked with leagues, but we're trying to get some more happening at Brightondale. One of the things that we're doing at Brightondale is we're going to try and create a singles day, like Wednesday afternoons, where if you're a single and you're looking for another golf partner, looking for somebody to play with, we're going to hold like four tee times and come on out and introduce everybody, and then they can pair up some people and go out, and hopefully we can create some golf partners that way, and then hopefully they find that since we did that for them, we'll be their home course. So I'm looking forward to that might be a possible good start. And then the irrigation work that we did at Brightondale, we did replace 155 heads. They were pretty much on time, even with the weather. They got all the heads done by about April 26th, and the heads should rotate now, which is a huge deal because we're not going to have a wet area and a dry area around the same head. And all the other heads that we replaced were so obsolete, and these ones we can get parts, and so we should have a much more trustworthy irrigation system in those areas anyway. And it should help us avoid some maintenance costs in the irrigation, is what we're hoping. And the County Highway Department will be paving the maintenance shop and maybe some more cart paths out there on the Blue Spruce coming up shortly. We did have one thing that happened. I found out Friday after the packet went out. All of our air conditioning has leaked out. And last year we did repair one, and it cost us about $4,000. And then most of that, like $3,600 of that, was to recharge the system, and that is gone right now. And so we have repair guys out there today, and they are they did find leaks both in the building and outside the building. The piping is just feeble, just like the irrigation. You know, it's just old. And as you guys know, the one furnace went out this winter, and we replaced that to a tune of about $15,000. And now we're looking at the whole air conditioning system that is antiquated and possibly needs to be replaced, and we'll get figures on that coming down. And then also, you know, we'll have the other furnace yet. So he's going to give me detailed information on repair costs, and then also replacement cost, and then piecemeal on how much we can replace, you know. So we'll be looking for avenues and coming to you guys for approval to move the money around, you know, so that week, because we have to have air conditioning out there. If we got golfers out there in 90 degree weather, they have to have a cool place to come and sit afterwards and cool down. So, you know, that's something that Mr. Kupfer and I are working our way through. We're hopefully get the figures sometime tomorrow or this week and figure out what we're going to have to do with that. So, and then, so that's, you know, possibly has to deal with the paving too, so we just gotta find out, you know, where we, when we can start and what we're doing there. I did go to about 20 hotels in the area and offer them a discount for their guests. You know, it's just a competitive advantage, you know, if the people that are staying at the hotels come out and show us their reservation confirmation letter or their key, that they can get a 20% discount on green fees, card fees, merchandise in the golf shop, and range balls. And, you know, it's just trying to get them visitors from the area to come to our golf courses instead of going to other golf courses. So it worked pretty well last year we did it, and so we're doing that again. The spring scramble was this last Saturday. We had 69 guys in it, it was a good time. I mean, everybody enjoyed it, and it was cart pass only, but they played pretty quickly. The winning score was 61-11 under, and they won a season pass for the year for winning the tournament. So that's our draw to get in that tournament. And then yesterday we had Nike demo day, and we sold quite a bit of equipment. We had quite a bit of activity there, so that was really good too. And next Friday we have the ladies' spring fling. So I think we have about 40 ladies signed up already for a 8 o'clock shotgun next Friday morning. Then the calendar of events is all up to date on our websites, and we're doing an email blast to about 9,300, I think, is where our database is in GolfNow, and plus I send it to the county board and then all of the users across the county. So hopefully you guys are getting our emails and take advantage of our fish fry. It's really, really tasty. And then the food and beverage, you know, is getting very positive comments. We do have a new food and beverage manager. Our old one, Debbie Tober, moved on. She went to Bittersweet, I think, down in Gurnee. And we promoted Erin McGrath. She has worked as a food and beverage attendant with our company for the last 8 years. I'm really excited about having her on board. She's very knowledgeable and very energetic, and I think she's going to do a great job. And we really have just started. The last 3 weeks we've had the fish fry, and we've been between 20 and 30 fish fries per place, you know, for the last 3 weeks. So hopefully that'll build a little bit from there. But one more thing. We did discover emerald ash borer on the golf course, and we've taken down about 30 trees so far by number 12 white green. But I'm sure that pretty much every ash tree on the golf course is going to get hit. You know, John's doing study, and I guess including the golf courses with it. You know, the majority of the ash trees are on the red and old part of the blue. I guess there's 1,000 trees that they're taking down in Bong because of emerald ash borer. Okay. So it's devastating, you know, and we'll try and formulate that plan, you know, with John and his grant that he got for studying the golf courses and come up with a replanting schedule and that type of thing. So we'll be working on that.
Thank you, Dan. Any questions?
I have one. Would it be possible to get like a monthly report to see how many rounds of golf have been played and also to compare them to the previous year? Actually, the previous 3 years, if it's possible.
Yeah, we can keep you up to date, you know, to a certain extent on that. Yep, we can add that to the report.
Yeah, we can have it like compared to the previous year,
yep.
Just to see.
For rounds,
yeah.
We, you know, currently, you know, I feel what we went through this spring is not insurmountable. I think that we will be able to, you know, get back to where closer to where we were last year, as long as the weather cooperates from here on out. I mean, we lost like $75,000 last October alone. And if we have a decent October, if we have a good spring, if it's just the October that we had in 2011, that takes a huge chunk of what we lost so far. So I'm pretty confident that you know, we can still be financially responsible and have a good year this year. You know, as long as the weather cooperates and we don't have any catastrophic weather from here on out. You know, so I'm not giving up hope.
Thanks, Dan. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll move on to facilities. Old business. 60th Street.
I'll take the tower replacement. Some good news from the city. Ray and I have been in contact with Brian Wilkie. They did get an assessor out there last Friday to look at the properties. And
be careful.
They're answering some follow-up questions from the assessor, so... once they get that done, they'll submit it to DNR. That's really all the information we have at this point.
Okay. All righty.
Any guess on how long this is going to take yet? Or?
With the city, it looks like things are moving ahead, but I hesitate to. We've been having so many false starts with the city. I think probably with you guys' experience, you have a pretty better idea than I do.
Well, who knows, you might change tonight. But
yeah. No, but Brian, I have to say, Brian Wilkie has been extremely good to work with. I just met him. I introduced myself in person today. I just happened to be down there, and he really is. From his part, it looks like he's really doing everything he can.
Well, just so they know, you know, the next winter season, if it gets down to it here by... I guess July, we'll have to probably start putting some heat on them, you know, and just so they know we don't want to take the chance of going through another freeze-thaw season with that thing. By putting the heat on them, who knows what it takes. Nothing seems to work. So, you think that we're headed there?
After talking to Brian, it definitely looks like, because it sounds like it's not within the city anymore. It's they got the appraiser, they send the appraisal over to DNR, so, and we're, on our side, we're getting our ducks in a row to pull the triggers.
We did that last November.
Yeah, we did. We're just crossing, you know, touching base with everybody, making sure they're still ready to go.
Right. Good.
We don't foresee any problems once it gets to DNR, though, right? Nothing that we know.
No. DNR told us last fall to go ahead.
Right, so we're still under the same.
Yeah, we're still under the same go ahead. Okay. Park and Ride.
I'll take that. There are two entrances to the Park and Ride. We've designated the north entrance for employees. South entrance is set up to take credit cards for the public. The north entrance should go live this week to allow employees to get used to coming around on 53rd Street. And we've scheduled Monday the 13th as the date to go live for the public.
13th of May?
Yes.
What do you mean by go live?
They can use their card.
Using credit cards to park there. Gate will be functioning.
Great. The HVAC control project.
Dennis, Mr. Chairman, the controls portion is moving along as we found the variable air volume boxes have to operate correctly for the controls to operate correctly. It's a 20-plus-year-old building, and we went through and realizing that the VAV, we went through and tested VAV boxes and found out almost 50 of them out of 116, the dampers weren't, the motors for the dampers weren't working. So we're in the process of narrowing that down and correcting that. We've got a new HVAC tech that'll be doing that for us. It'll save us a lot of money. That's it for them.
Any questions? We'll go on. Go ahead.
Any, just any completion date estimate yet?
We should be there within. It depends how many of these VAV boxes we can get our HVAC guy to do in a week. He literally just came on board last week.
We'll do a report on that. It's on the list of new business.
I wanted him to look it over first and let us know.
Because obviously summer's coming, right?
Oh, yes.
I mean, it doesn't seem like it, but it really is.
In actuality, the building is operating just because with this controls thing, and they knew they had a problem with the VAV boxes. Through this testing, because the controls were put on there, we really know exactly how many of them are bad. It's working the same way as it has been for the last few years. So they've been managing with it, or they've adjusted certain things. So it's not ideal, but it's something they've been bandaging for the last few years and living with. Now, after we do it, we'll get it corrected the right way. There'll be more energy efficient.
Right.
Good point.
Okay, we'll move on to the Yule House.
I have a little bit of information. We don't have information for about another week. There was a conflict between the date we picked for open house for realtors and the date that the Historical Society decided to move all their stuff, or a lot of their stuff, to the west side of the state where they're going to hold an auction or held an auction or something like that. So that's been delayed, and probably get a good report for you next month.
Okay. Then the administration building.
Mr. Chairman, I handed out a report. It should be on the bottom of your stack. This is the preliminary report from the architect who went over the entire building, stone by stone, for the lift, the roof, and analyzed the entire structure. I'll leave the specifics to everyone else, but interesting, it was originally built as a Moose Lodge, built by the Moose Lodge. They lost it during the Depression because they gave loans out to their members to help save their houses. And unfortunately, you know, everything cascaded, but he went over everything from the roof down to the basement. We have a spreadsheet here with the whole entire cost. Really, there's the recommended work at the bottom. The first part was kind of like the scope that we did, the 1.787 was kind of the scope of the courthouse. The administration building has some other unique features. Unfortunately, including the basement that's leaking like a sieve. And I've got pictures later on to point that out. But just kind of to summarize everything, with the waterproofing, the Queen Mary, as we've all heard, the cooling tower and back has seen its best years behind it. So all that together would come out to about $2.47 million to restore. The big difference with this one through the courthouse is really the waterproofing in the basement and how bad the water's coming in there. and there's a resolution later on to approve. The city is going to be tearing up 56th Street. They're redoing the sidewalks on 56th Street and on 10th Avenue, which is the south and east sides of the courthouse. So if we do the waterproofing, while they have that all open, that will save us 15% to 20% of the cost. So there's a resolution later on to ask for that $146,300 to be moved from the part from the courthouse project or from something else to execute that this year, and that'll save us money long term doing it. And then the north and the west sides, which are more complicated because they have vaults that extend out, waterproofing that, that would be in next year's project. So anyway, just some of the, this picture here is this piece of stone that was about 20 feet up, right over the employee entrance, and the steel that holds it in is right here, and it rusts, and it was slowly pushing this out. Literally, he took it out with his hand. So the next picture is an example of the brick, the deterioration. It just hasn't been tuck pointed, taken care of. And the longer you let it go, the more expensive it is to replace it. This is some of the concrete stucco on the west side, again, deteriorating, and then it gets the steel behind it and rusts. So the longer you wait, the more expensive. It's a picture of the boiler room. They used to have 2 or 3 inches of standing water in there, so until they snaked out the drains a few years ago. But you can still see the waters coming in through the walls. And the longer you let that go, the more it gets at the rebar, and the more expensive it will be. That's just another picture of the water coming in through the walls. This is some of the concrete stucco from the west side. It actually fell off and fell onto the roof of a roof portion that came out on the first floor, which isn't good for the roof either. So it's really kind of a safety concern also. Any questions?
Mike? Of these list of things here, what are the absolute cannot wait due to safety concerns to employees and the public?
Cannot wait would be the limestone replacement, the 4-inch veneer, the tuck pointing, replacing of the bricks. The roofing, really, could the roof last another year or two? Yeah, but the roofing is integral with the parapet walls, which is integral with as you take this wall apart to really do it right like we did at the courthouse. You really need to do them at one period of time. And the roof really is at the end of its natural life. And the terracotta and the wood materials, while we're up there, it's the most cost efficient time to do it, and those were only $10,000-$25,000. The stucco you have to do to protect the steel. And the waterproofing, the longer we wait, the more expensive it's going to get.
Obviously, this is an updated or the most recent estimate. Have we done any budgeting towards this in the past?
Yes, they did. We had a placeholder of $1.5 million spread over 2 years. That was just kind of based off of, you know, the courthouse and looking at the admin building, the square footage of the facade and things like that. So we did have a placeholder in the budget.
And are those funds available for you to begin some of your, and obviously I think the basement waterproofing probably is the first thing you want to get going on.
Correct. Actually, what the funds, and Jim has the resolution for it, but with the courthouse project, we were fortunate enough to come in with $140,000 left over, which out of $5.5 million isn't a huge amount of money, but we did save that. And then when this came along, the $146,000, it really, especially with the city tearing it up, and it would save us 20% of the cost. It was the administration felt it was prudent to ask the committee to move those funds over along with a little to make the difference up, to take advantage of that now. And then the rest of the waterproofing we would do next year along with the project.
understand that, you know, when funds, does it save us anything to do it all at one time, or is that impractical to do?
It really, what you would, if we waited until next year to do a waterproofing, you would lose, you would get some efficiency, you would get some efficiencies, and actually, we worked up the numbers that would save you probably somewhere in the area of about 30 grand, but you would lose having to tear up the brand new sidewalk that the city would put in, plus everybody would say, typical government job, right. Everybody talking to each other, city puts in a brand new sidewalk, and here we are tearing it out a year later, so. Okay. We did actually look at trying to do all of the waterproofing all at once to try to save, you know, a little bit of money, and that's where it came out, but unfortunately there wasn't enough money in budgets in the county that were available to put towards this, because if you look at the whole waterproofing, it really comes out, because you have to move the Queen Mary to get at that side, it really, it's almost $600,000 to $700,000. So we did look at those sides to see what was the most efficient, and if we could have gotten, if there would have been enough money, it's just, there's not that much money laying around in the county. We're just fortunate with the courthouse project, we did have it.
Doug?
What does it entail to waterproof that? What do they have to do?
Actually, we've got to go down all the way down to the foundation, and you have to make a trench back at minimum 6 feet, you know, preferably will be 12 feet. So we go all the way down to the foundation, put drainage tile down there, and we're going to hire a civil engineer. There's a storm sewer right there to see if we can go out, or if we need to, if the levels, depending on the levels, are high enough, we want to make sure that water doesn't come back on us, but pump it out over to that, and then they seal it with a membrane that's 60 mils thick directly to the foundation, and whatever foundation, mostly it's poured concrete, which is a good thing. There's a few places where it's brick where the supports come through, and they'll, any penetrations or any repair they need to make of all that, so that they have a smooth finish. But the first thing is, if you get any water there, we get it out with the drain tile. Second of all, if any water does come up, they actually flood test it also to make sure that we're not getting any more leakage before we get an out button to let, it's for the guarantee. So it's both the drain tile and the complete membrane.
I had my basement done waterproof. Is it similar to that process? Are they breaking it up on the inside to put the drainage on, or are they going to excavate
it's
on
gonna
the outside?
It's going to excavate down on the outside all the way down to the
Oh, they're doing it on the outside.
Yes, that's why we're taking advantage when the city takes out the sidewalk on the front, on the south and the east side.
What about doing it on the inside like they do for a house? It's a lot cheaper.
The architects, we actually had some waterproofing people come up to it. I'm not familiar with that method, but they all said that this was the way to go. I'll go back and ask them about that from the inside. But what type of method were they using?
Well, for a house, all they do is, of course, it's smaller, so they only go like 2 feet maybe from the wall. They break up the concrete, and then they dig it down and put in a new drainage tile on the inside of the old exterior, and basically it just runs through that drainage tile. And then they actually put a membrane on the inside so that if you do get water running down your wall, which I don't, but if you do, it runs into the inner drainage tile as opposed to getting it on the floor. And I've actually had to have an exterior wall re-excavated once too for a different reason, and I know it's like five times as expensive as waterproofing from the inside.
I think I'll find out, but I know for that, like these pictures, you can see it's coming in from.
Yeah, that looks like, you know, that looks bad.
Yeah, it's coming in from top to bottom. It's not just a matter of coming in here, and I think that's probably why they.
Mine was only coming in very slightly, just at the, where the wall met the concrete.
Yeah. unfortunately, in our case, it's not, and it's more than one place around the perimeter. We have registered deeds downstairs with critical documents. So,
and you said it's a 60 mil membrane that they use?
Correct.
That's the...
Well,
no, that's good.
What I told them was, we're going to do this once.
Yeah.
And we can't have any water in here. You know, we got to do it right, because this is our one chance to do it.
Yeah, just so people know, a swimming pool, a good industrial pool is 28 mil. We use 40 when we do ponds. And that's guaranteed for 60 years. That pond liner at 40 mil. And you're doing a 60 mil. That's something.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's with the county, it's not, we're not a business that we don't know in 20 years if we're going to have the building or not.
No.
It's going to be ours for the, as far as we can see. So long-term best cost to the taxpayers, really, while we have it all open.
Well, it's a huge investment that we already have, and so the committee knows what we're talking about tonight. It's just like we were, and most of you weren't here, when we did the courthouse. No, that's right. The majority of you weren't. So, I mean, this will be in the budget for next year. We'll be, you know, bonding or bidding, however we're going to do this. But what we're looking at now is the starting point and the waterproofing. And the waterproofing makes nothing but sense when the city's going to tear two of the sides of the building out. And then the next object that we have on the agenda is us acquiring the other side. So this is why we're combining this in tonight. Any other questions for Frank on his presentation?
Okay.
Most of them were answered before. But what's this rental commission? Like at the bottom,
Yeah, that's what the retro commissioning was. If we were going to replace the cooling tower and when we were going to take off the roof membrane, they have an HVAC unit up on the roof, and that one is at the end of its useful life too. The idea was to replace both the cooling tower and the HVAC up on the roof, so that the idea was, could the HVAC up there last another year or two? Yeah, but then we'd be putting down a whole new roof, cutting holes for the penetrations, and then a couple of years putting a new one in. The idea was to go through and balance all those that we have brand new to make sure the whole thing is running efficiently.
The other one is where it says 20% replace. I believe, did you say that's for the bricks? Replace 20% of the bricks? Or?
Yeah, the one picture here, you could see the condition of the bricks, literally. So from his whole evaluation, he figured 20% of these bricks that have literally crumbled apart, we'd have to put in new ones. This is on the west and north sides. The south and east sides are limestone. Just one other point was the limestone on the courthouse in Reuther was 8 inches thick blocks. This, the Moose Lodge, they went with 4-inch thick and then a brick terracotta backup, depending where it was. So it was not as robust. It was a little cheaper to do, but it wasn't as robust. So now, you know, they spent a little less money then. We have to spend a little more money now because it didn't hold up as well.
My last,
go ahead.
My last question is, I know the way we're talking now about this is not going to take effect until next year or so.
Right.
Is that going to be a problem with the limestone special kind of wall?
No.
Is that going to be?
Actually, what we had was, we did some emergency repairs 2 years ago. I passed out some pictures, and we actually put plywood, we not only sealed it, but we put plywood over that. Now this, Steve went around and he tapped and inspected every single stone. So what is loose has already been taken off. We're safe as far as things coming through. Now, once we go through another freeze thaw in the winter time, that's when something else like this might occur. But you know, if you deem so, then we'll be doing that project next year. So, But yeah, it's a good point. Safety-wise, we're okay right now.
We did the same with the courthouse. They numbered everything. Everything was, yep. Doug?
Stepping back in time, and we purchased that building and actually voted to reconstruct, you know, basically remodel it, and I think I was the only vote against it. But why, when we purchased the property, didn't we have some type of an evaluation of this particular property? Because I'm just going by memory, but I don't think the whole remodel project was as much as it's going to cost to do this structural reconditioning, $2.7 million. I think we remodeled it for less than $2.7 million. This really, in my opinion, when we bought the particular piece of property, we should have had this type of an analysis done that we paid this person to do now, because my guess is a lot of this was bad then when we bought it.
It's a good question, and I tried to ask the same question. Unfortunately, nobody's still here that was in facilities back then as part of the team. One person that sort of was outside of facilities but said, yeah, you know, at the time the facade wasn't this bad, of course, you know, 20 years ago, and it was the inside that really needed to be rehabbed. So, but that's the best explanation I got. But you're right, it, anytime buying a building like this, to have an exam,
you know, because if you again buy a house and get an inspector to come in, which pretty much everybody does that now, and the basement is in this condition, the former owner has to excavate and do everything that we're going to be doing before they can sell it. And I'm pretty sure that if we would have done that, we would have had the former owner be paying for this and not the taxpayer.
Patty Bilski, she said 7 years ago when she came there, there was that 2 to 3 inches in the basement, and that's when they snaked out the drains, which just allowed the water that was coming in to go down the drain. It didn't fix the problem. Now, I'd imagine this problem was probably there 20 years ago. The furthest back I could get from anybody was 7 years ago, but to your point, yeah.
I make the point, and if we ever do buy anything else, I think we ought to, you know, get with it and start to evaluate the structure, you know, as opposed to just location, right next to the courthouse. If I remember, that was the argument for buying it. Location.
Anything else for Frank here?
Just to let you know, once we get done, like I said, I told the architects and everybody, we got one chance to do this right. Let's make sure that we've got, and that's part of the reason why, you know, the retro commissioning's in there and things. I wanted, didn't want to come to committee. You know, we might, like you asked what's absolutely necessary. We can go through this list and see if there's something that may not make it, but I didn't want to come back to committee and go, oh, by the way, this, oh, by the way, the canopy, oh, by the way, you know.
Right.
This is that. I wanted to lay it all out so that we had it in front of us and then go forward. I didn't want to come back later.
Now, this is a process we did on the courthouse. And if you do this type of process that we just did, commissioned, you're going to find things. But in 20 years, you're going to find more things. And we're going to find in 20 years the courthouse needs more work, too. 20 years is a long time. If you do a,
especially this work.
If I sold my house this week, and the people hired a house inspector to come in, and they said the roof is fine, the roof's not going to be fine in 20 years. It's going to need a new furnace. It's going to need a new septic field. Most 20-year-old houses, it's going to need a new deck. I mean, that's on a home, and even on these fancy buildings with the granite and everything, in 20 years, a lot of stuff can go wrong. So, I mean, the county board 20 years from now is going to be doing work on the courthouse.
If, with the restoration we did, if I may, Mr. Chairman, and with the maintenance program we're instituting, where it's going to get checked and the tech point is going to be updated, really a major job like this on the courthouse will be 50 to 75 years out with right. Proper maintenance.
Right.
If we don't do the proper maintenance on that building or this building, then... we're looking at major expense, but you're right, 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who sidewalks, new curbs, new everything. Not even 20 years. Any other questions on this portion of Frank's report? So we'll go on to new business. Bernie, are you going to?
Yes. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'd like to take up the next item, which is the resolution to purchase of 56th Street property between the county administration building and the parking lot. I asked Vicki to put down a notice that it might go into closed session under the section of the open meetings law, which allows closed session for deliberating on purchase of public properties. I think it's a good idea. It's up to the committee, of course, but lets us speak freely and without damaging our position in the negotiations or transaction.
If you think that's the idea, Bernie, I think that's why we should, why you're here. So do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion on closed session.
Second.
Move to second.
Include the members around the table here. I'm not sure this gentleman.
No.
All right.
We'll include everyone.
And Bob, that just left. He'll be back.
He's going to let back in.
Jim Kupfer. Yeah, I'll let him back. I'm supposed to let you back in.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we'll go on to close this one.
Thank you.